Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Isn't it good to be in His presence and just magnify Him together? It's an awesome thing. I want to get into the Word tonight. We want to have some time at the end here this evening to spend some time in the presence of God as well and believe God together. We talked about the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? How does it work? What does the Scripture say about it? What does the Word of God talk about the prayer of faith? Look with me, if you would, into James chapter 5 and verse 13. James 5:13. And guys, I'm going to be using a variety of translations, so if you're just putting up Bible scriptures, you can stick with the New King James. That'll be in the middle. In James 5, verse 13, he wrote, and James was a pastor at the church of Jerusalem. He said, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up and heal him. If he sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now, he's talking about the prayer of faith here. So we could say it this way, the prayer of faith of a man in right standing with God makes tremendous power available to him. So what is the prayer of faith? Well, we can see here it's connected to being healed in your body. How many of you like healing? Aren't you glad we serve a healing God? And so without belaboring all the different doctrinal views about healing, let's forget about all the doctrinal views and believe the Bible. How about that? That makes it simple, doesn't it? So the Bible said the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise him up and heal him. So there's something within the prayer of faith that makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Everybody say available. Well, just because something's available doesn't mean you and I get it. Just because something's available doesn't mean you have it. The fact of it is, in the redemptive work of Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, would we not say, and is it not biblical to say, that salvation is available to everybody? Everybody on planet Earth could be saved tonight. They could give their life to Jesus, receive the free gift of eternal life, and we'd not have one lost person on planet Earth tonight. Because salvation is available right now. But we know we're saved by grace through faith. Faith makes that salvation available to you. It makes tremendous power available to you. So we know even when it comes to salvation, in fact, we could say it this way, there's nothing you and I receive from God that we don't receive by grace through faith. Nothing. Not salvation, not healing, not our needs met. It's by grace, meaning it's because Jesus provided it and you didn't earn it. And then you have to exercise something called faith. One way to exercise faith is through the prayer of faith. Now, so if the prayer of faith makes tremendous power available to you, then I think it would be really good to know how that prayer works. So James wrote back in the first chapter when he was talking about trials and tests. Look at verse 6 and 7. He was talking about, in this case, asking for wisdom. So we see praying for healing through the prayer of faith. Now we're going to see asking for wisdom. Look here in James 1, verse 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting or wavering, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man, that is the man who wavers, suppose or even think, now listen, that he will receive anything from the Lord. Everybody say receive. So the prayer of faith is that which enables you to receive. He said the absence of faith, he said when you're not walking in the realm of faith, he said don't even think or suppose that that man will receive anything from the Lord. See, the promises of God are not given by God. They're received by men. Let me explain that. Jesus has already died on the cross. Amen? Buried, rose from the dead, is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. Is that finished? So is redemption, the work of redemption, finished? So the will of God regarding redemption is established. The will of God is already a finality in the mind of God. You cannot operate in faith where the will of God is unknown. And most dear Christians, and I don't mean this to be critical, but they pray when it comes to where you should be operating in faith, they ask a question. Now, it's a good question. It could be for healing, it could be whatever, and they'll always say things like this. Lord, if it's your will, A, B, or C, do for us. But if not, then thy will be done. Now, there is a place, and we don't have time to teach it tonight, where it is absolutely appropriate to pray, if it be the will of the Lord. The Bible said, don't say, I'll go to this city or that city and get a job and buy and sell and make gain. He said, you say, if it's the will of God, I'll go do that. You don't get to direct your own life as a Christian. How many of you know you have a Lord over your life? You just don't get to go where it's the easiest place or the place you think is the best. How many of you know your Lord will tell you what he wants you to do with your life? So in that sense, of course, you pray if it be the will of the Lord. Jesus, when it came to dying on the cross, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, your will, not mine. How many of you know when it comes to obedience, it's good to say, Lord, if this is your will, I'll do it. Not your will, but my will. But when it comes to the things Jesus purchased in redemption, that's an unscriptural prayer. Or they'll pray this, Lord, I just ask you to A, B, or C, in your time. What's that mean? Well, when is this time? Well, you never know. Well, then how will you ever know if you got there? It's that religious kind of mystical, you know, Lord, in your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time. Anybody ever married? At least once? All right, you married? If you're married, you ever been in what they call a spat? Ever had one of those? And I mean, how about, you're the one at fault, because you've never been at fault, have you? I mean, you're just 100% wrong. You ever been 100% wrong? Am I the only honest human in the room? Okay. I noticed Michelle didn't raise her hand. thank you for lifting up the volume right when I said that. I was being brave, and you just, man, that's just wrong. I couldn't hear that, honey. I'm sorry. But you know, you can be 100% wrong, and your spouse look at you and say, you're going to make this right? And you'd say, in my time, I'll make all things beautiful. In my time. Time's now, isn't it? Now, here's the deal. Anything Jesus died for is the will of God for you. Period. You don't have to ask for it. Think about it. You don't have to ask God if it's his will. It's God's will because Jesus died to provide it. In his death, burial, and resurrection, he provided redemption. In the redemptive work of Christ, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed everything under the curse of the law. That's spiritual death, poverty, sickness, mental disease. It goes on and on and on. Read Deuteronomy 28. Aren't you glad you've been redeemed? And yet right there in Galatians 3, he said you've been redeemed from the curse of the law that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You have to receive the promise. See, most people, when they pray, there's the mindset you must lose when it comes to the prayer of faith. When you pray is not when God gives. When you pray is when you receive. The fact of it is, you can't pray the prayer of faith if God hasn't already given it in Christ. The prayer of faith cannot be prayed unless the will of God is an established biblical fact. So when you pray is not when God gives you anything. When you pray is when you receive what God did through Christ in his redemptive work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. That puts a whole nother light on receiving from God. Because you see, there is a God side and a man side to this equation. The God side is that Jesus paid the price. The man side is you have to receive it by faith. By the grace of God. Now, faith doesn't negate grace, and grace doesn't negate faith. You need them both. And if you take grace out of faith, you'll end up in works, and you'll end up buried. If you take faith out of grace, you'll end up just floating around and putting everything off on God. For years, because there's great controversy today about the subject of grace. And I have a lot of my friends that are very strong teachers on the subject of grace, and thank God for it. And one of them said this to me once, when he saw what God had done here. He said, you know, John, he said, you sure didn't faith this. Meaning this is just an act of the grace of God. I said, that's not true. This is an act of the grace of God, came to pass by faith. Because let me tell you, the grace of God hovered over this property since God made it. And you should have seen it when grace just had it. You have to act. Now, the fact of it is, a prayer of faith has to believe something. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 11. We'll read verse 12 and 14, down 12 through 14, then we'll jump down to verse 19. This is Jesus traveling with his disciples. Mark 11, verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, that's a city, not a person. As they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf or in bloom, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no man ever eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Go down to verse 19, because they go into the city, out of the city. Now they're going to leave the city, verse 19. When evening came, they went out of the city. Now in the morning, this is well over somewhere around 24 hours now, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Let's stop just for a moment before we get to Jesus' response. So a day has passed. Jesus talks to a tree, and I love that he killed a tree for an illustration. That is just so awesome to me. It just shows you that God, because we killed a tree once for an illustration. You remember Leroy Stump? Cut down a tree. It's awesome. But I have a Bible for that. Jesus killed a tree for an illustration. Be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Cut her down. Now listen. He said to the tree, he spoke to it. He said, "No man will ever eat fruit hereafter and forever." They went into the city, out of the city, they passed that tree. When they passed the tree, there was no noticeable difference, not enough to where they could determine that anything had happened to that tree. And yet, by the morning time when they got there, that tree had dried up from the roots. Now, how do you know, how would they know it dried up from the roots? Well, there still has to be life in the leaves. Or you wouldn't know where it started. If it was dried up from top to bottom, you wouldn't know where it began. But it's like it literally died from the ground up. And when you looked up into the leaves, they were probably still green or turning. And yet the bottom of the tree had withered and like it was old and dead and probably almost, in a sense, when something gets old and dies, begins to almost get kind of uprooted. And Peter looks at that and said, "Jesus, you talked to this tree yesterday. Look what it did. It's dried up." Now listen to this. From the roots. Now how many of you know Jesus cursed that tree for a reason? It wasn't just because he didn't, you know, wasn't a member of the Sierra Club. He cursed that tree for a reason. Because he was teaching a principle. That when you believe God, it starts in what cannot be seen. And it will show up above ground in that which can be seen. It starts at the root. And then it works its way up. We have a tendency more to want to just pull the leaves off of trees. You know, you can go out in your backyard in the middle of spring and pull off every green leaf on every tree. And if you are successful, take a long time, but if you did it, your trees would all look like they were dead. But they wouldn't be dead because there's still life in that tree. And next spring, they would emerge again and the tree would look like you never touched it. The prayer of faith deals with the root of the issue. So Jesus, listen to what he says now in verse 21. He's answering Peter about this issue. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Literally, it's have the God kind of faith. Verse 23, I tell you the truth. Now, how many of you know when Jesus spoke, it was always the truth? But if he starts by saying, I tell you the truth, how many of you know he's trying to emphasize something? He said, I tell you the truth, that if anyone says to this mountain, now he takes his attention off of a withered tree, he points to a mountain. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart, that what he says will happen or come to pass, it will be done for him or he will have it. Verse 24, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it. And it will be yours or you will have it. So he starts in verse 23. First, he starts in verse 22 with a command. I command you to have this kind of faith. Not, this isn't just for Jesus to live. That would have been fine if he would have said, let me tell you how God's faith works. But that's only for me and he, not for you. But that's not what he said. He said, have this kind of faith in your life, Peter. Because if you will believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you'll have what you say. You will believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you will have what you say. You say, well, that's that name it and claim it stuff. No, it's the words of Jesus. And you say, well, I don't like that. I don't care. And well, you ought not to care. Jesus said it. It ought to make some sense to you. He said, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you'll have what you say. Now, you see, is that true for anything? No. No. Now I can tell you this. If you speak against God's word in your life, you'll begin to enjoy the fruit of that nonsense. But what he's trying to get across to you is this. When you take me at my word. Now remember, he's going back to the faith of God. How did the faith of God, how about this? Hebrews 11 said, we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which were seen were not made by things which do appear. We know that God made or recreated the earth, we could say, or framed the worlds by saying, light be and light was. And then the earth do this and the earth did that. And then the firmament this and that happened. And it was, and God said it and it did and it happened. God said and it happened. God said and it, like 13 times in the book of Genesis first chapter. And God said and it was so. God spoke it into existence. So the word of God is what framed the worlds. When I believe the word of God in my heart and I speak it out of my mouth, that same power goes to work in my circumstance. So living by faith, we haven't gotten to the prayer of faith. Living by faith is when what I believe governs my beliefs of my heart and the words of my mouth. And when I say what God's word says over my life, the same power that framed the world comes out of my mouth and begins to shape your life. And like it framed the world, the power of God will frame your life. That's where I differ so greatly from a lot of the extreme grace teaching. John, you didn't faith this. Let me tell you something. The people in this church sure enough faith this. For years. In fact, 19 years ago last month, or 2 months ago now, we stood up the first day this church started and said exactly what you'd be sitting in 6.5 months. It will be almost 20 years. It'll be just shy of 20 years when we move in that new building. And it was 20 years before that we said it exactly what you're seeing. Because you think you were super? No. That's what God put in our heart. So we just agreed with it. We've been agreeing with it for 20 years. Going on 20 years. And the power of God showed up and it's come to pass. Faith in Him, not faith in yourself. So the law of faith is that you let your words agree with God's. And you say what God says about you. And so that's the law that governs faith. The law of faith is the same as if you will, the law of gravity. It's a constant. The law of thrust and lift, planes fly, based on certain laws. And so it is with the law of faith. I was talking to a therapist about a situation that we're involved in. And I said to the therapist, I said, this one individual we're dealing with, I said, they tell a lot of untruths, lie a lot. I said, but I'm convinced they believe the lies. I said, can you explain to me from your point of view, from your training, what happens? But this therapist said to me, he said, well, let me tell you exactly what happens. When somebody says something long enough, they believe it. Even if it's not true, it will become their reality. And, you know, even though this was a negative situation, it's exactly what happens to us. Because God designed you to believe what you say. Now, what if instead of you saying lies and nonsense, like this dear person that's messed up, you say what God says about you? You will begin to believe it. And it will begin to govern your life. And you will begin to make decisions and choices, everyday life choices, based on the beliefs of your heart that have been formed by the Word of God. That's why for 20 years, we have made aggressive decisions to go after people and to build unfettered. Now, you understand there's a lot of comments that come with that. I don't say much about it because it doesn't matter. Because they're just the words of people. And they're not bad people. People have a right to an opinion. I understand people see things and they draw opinions from ignorance or they don't have a context. That's okay. That's all right. I mean, that's between them and Jesus. But you know, when you believe something in your heart, you'll act like it's true and you just keep going. Doesn't matter what obstacles come. God's either he moves mountains or he doesn't. So you just keep acting like the Word of God's true and acting like the Word of God's true. And he shows up and he shows up. I mean, on Sunday, this past weekend, I talked to you about what the Lord put in my heart, that there would be people that would give significant gifts, that we would raise the $220,000, just put it out there to renovate this room for the youth. And somewhere around 50,000 plus has already been given. And I'm believing with God, 220 will come in plus. He said, why would you say that? That's a lot of money. Because God put it in my heart, and I believe what he says is true. So, you know, are you fasting about it? No, I just believe God doesn't need me to fast to be God. He needs me to believe him. So there is the law of faith. And then he said, therefore, meaning because you govern your life by faith, because you have decided to have this kind of faith in your life, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you ask for or believe for when you pray, believe that you receive it now, and then you will have it. The prayer of faith believes it receives when it prays. The prayer of faith is a one-time prayer. Now, there are many, many different types of prayer in Scripture. But the prayer of faith is a one-time prayer. You never pray the prayer of faith twice. The second time it's prayed, it's unbelief. Because the prayer of faith must believe something. What does the prayer of faith believe when it prays? That it receives when it prayed. That's it. It doesn't believe, well, I believe God's good. I ask people, what are you believing? Ah, the Lord's good. That's wonderful. I believe Jesus can heal. That's good. I believe God provides. That's a wonderful thing. What did you believe about when you prayed? Oh, I believe that God's faithful. That's good. That's not what the prayer of faith believes. If you're praying the prayer of faith, there's one thing you're to believe, that you received it when? When you prayed. And Jesus said, you will have it. So does the having come after the believing you receive? But most people want to see it. And when they see something, they say, look what God did for me. But the prayer of faith has a glad heart of rejoicing based on the faithfulness of God because you believe you receive it when you pray. So when's the timing for the prayer of faith to believe it receives? When it prays. When you pray that prayer, it's a one-time prayer. Now, there are other types of prayer. You can pray 1,000 times over. You can pray in the Spirit night and day. You can pray a prayer of worship and thanksgiving night and day. You can pray, and these are all different types of prayer in the Bible. You can pray the prayer of dedication and consecration 100 times a day. You can do that over and over again. But when it comes to the prayer of faith, that's a one-time prayer. And after you pray it, you walk away from that place of prayer persuaded that God is faithful. And when I prayed, I believe I received. Based on the Word of God. Now, you have to have Word for it. Now, healing's a perfect example. I mean, you can see clearly in James chapter 5. You know, people say, well, it's not that important. You know, that's not the important things to God. Stop that nonsense. Don't tell God what's important. Let God tell you what's important. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it wasn't important. It wouldn't have been 1/3 of the ministry of Jesus if healing the sick wasn't important. I don't know about you. I've been sick before. It's important. May not be important to you if you're well, but if you're sick, let me tell you, this is real important. Anybody have children? Tell you it's not important. What a religious bunch of junk. It's not important to God. Oh, shut up. Of course it's important to God. You have kids? Jesus, the Bible said, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing matters to God. Your body, your health, your well-being, your prosperity, your soulish prosperity, your relationship with God, your mental ability, your emotional stability, it all matters to God. It was all purchased in redemption. It belongs to you now by faith. It is your right and privilege. There is an inheritance undefiled that belongs to you and the saints in Christ. It belongs to you, but it has to be appropriated by faith. It has to be acquired and taken hold of by grace through faith. Father, it belongs to me because Jesus purchased it, so I believe it's mine. I have it now. If you start praying the prayer of faith based on what you did, now you left out the grace part. Lord, I believe I received because I prayed today, or I fasted, or I gave, or I. If you start the prayer of faith what you did, now it's by your grace through faith. No, it's by His grace. Father, I can receive this because of Jesus. Jesus purchased this for me. And grace says that it's mine undeserved, which means I don't deserve it. Have you ever felt undeserving of God? If you haven't, you haven't breathed long. So I don't feel like I deserve it. Well, perfect. You now qualify to receive. Because only people that can receive are those who are undeserving. Because it is by grace through faith. So it's only for the undeserving, which, by the way, is everybody. And yet, well, I've had a real good week spiritually, so I feel like I can receive now. No, don't do that. It's good to have a good week spiritually. I don't mean that. But don't base what God will do for you on what you've done for God. That's backwards. You walk with God because He loves you, you love Him back, but don't mess that up with the receiving part. God doesn't do anything for us based on what we did for Him. He did it already in Christ, and He did it while we were yet dead in our sin and our trespass. What do you do once you pray the prayer of faith? The same thing you would do if you asked me for something. How many of you know, if you came up to me and said, Pastor John, hey, after church, would you give me $20? I said, sure, I would, if I had 20 on me. But if I don't, if you really need it, Steve Moore will give it to you. I don't carry cash anymore. But if you said to me before church, hey, after church, would you give me 20? I said, yeah, I'll get you right after church. What's the next thing you would say to me? If you're polite, what would you say? If somebody walked up and said, here's $1,000, you would say, would you say thank you? I hope you would. If you believe you receive when you pray, what's the next thing that should come out of your heart to God? Thank you. Not asking again. Not waiting to see if the mountain moved. Not waiting to see if the circumstance changed. Not waiting to see if a doctor or if whoever, and I'm not, thank God for doctors. There are marvelous physicians in this church. Thank God for doctors. They're in the same business Jesus is, helping people. But you don't need their report to believe what God said. You don't need to find your checkbook looking great before you can say, I'm blessed. in him I'm blessed. You don't need to have physical evidence before you can say with a glad heart of confession, of faith, and thanksgiving, Father, I thank you. It's mine. I have it now. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Now think of that. You talk about having to walk by faith. How many of you think we ought to actually believe the whole Bible? How about this one? Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. So I could just cut half my day away if I didn't have to, if I just didn't do that. I mean, well, what could you do? You could have peace. Don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but ignore it and pretend it will go away. No. Put it in the hands of God and just hope. No, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition. It means asking God. How do we ask? What did James say? Ask in faith. We could say it this way. By prayer and petition, asking in faith, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Why would you be giving thanks? Because you have the answer, because it belongs to you. You believed you received it when you prayed. So when you come into a difficult situation that would cause you to fret or have anxiety, did anybody ever come into those? Come on, man. I mean, is life ever... Come on, I mean, that's life. He said, but when you come into those circumstances, bring that to God, every circumstance, every situation, in everything, and bring it before God and pray and make a petition and request of Him what you need. Make your request known to God. Believe you receive it when you pray, and then operate with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Let me give you an example that Jesus did it, and then I want us to pray together tonight. And we'll just be led. Vicki, if you can come back up and start playing wherever Vicki's at.
Hello, Vicki.
She's back somewhere. She's coming. But how many of you know when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? You remember that? They came to Jesus and said, your friend Lazarus is sick. He's sick nigh unto death. That means he's going to die. You know, here's what Jesus did when he heard it. Here's what he said in John 11. This sickness is not unto death, but the glory of the Lord will be revealed in this. He didn't say this sickness is not unto death, but he got sick so God could show his glory. That's not what he said. He said this sickness is not unto death, but this is going to reveal the glory of God. And then as they went on a little bit, Jesus ignored it for days. And finally they said, Lazarus, what about Lazarus? Jesus said, he's sleeping. And they were like, well, if he's sleeping, he'll be all right. And finally Jesus looked at them and said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Oh, well, that's a little bit different. He's no longer sick. He's dead. And now they go and they show up where Lazarus lived. And now they go to where, and they're all weeping and crying, and I mean, people are just, oh man, they're just crying. There's professional mourners there. And Lazarus' sister comes up to Jesus and said, Lord, had you been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus looked at her and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He went over to that tomb, and everybody's all gathered around him. And look at John 11. Look at chapter 11, verse 41, down through verse 44. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. I want you to see how faith works. He's our example. John 11, 41. So they took away the stone. Remember, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Then Jesus looked up and said, now listen, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Everybody say, have heard me. There's no record of Jesus praying. Here's what he said. This sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God will be revealed in this. When Jesus said it in his heart, it was done. He just said, this sickness is not unto death, but he died. Did Jesus not understand? No, he said it. He didn't pray it. He said it. And notice again, we're trying to follow Jesus. He had such confidence that when he spoke it out of his mouth, it was done. And I want you to notice what he said here. Now look here again in verse 41. So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. Now listen to this. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. That's a day. Huh? Aren't you glad that there's a time that the graves, no matter how long someone's in the Lord and passed in the Lord, that how many of you are glad that there's a resurrection coming? Amen? Aren't you glad that we get to be with Christ when we leave this earth? But this is a little different situation. And Jesus said, Lord, he said, Father, well, back there when I said the sickness is not unto death, I know you heard me. So what I'm about to do right now is for their benefit. Not because I don't think you heard me. I said it. It's done. So all he did was look over at a big hole in hewn out of a stone and a dead guy in there. In grave clothes, wrapped in grave clothes. He's bound up. He has it put over his, I mean, it would kill you. The grave clothes alone would kill you. No, they really would. Especially if you've been in them in 4 days, you'd suffocate. And, Jesus just said, now come out of there with a loud voice. And I don't know how, I know Lazarus didn't get up on his own because he's tied up. He's in grave. He's bound up. He's laid down. He's laying down. I don't know whether, I guess angels went over and just picked him up and carried him out. Pop, there he is. And he's just going. He said, well, go untie him. You know, because people are just kind of standing there. He's probably going, choking or something. And people are just going, Jesus think, well, if you don't untie him, he'll die again. Come on, boys. Nobody's going to touch him. He said, just unloose him and let him go. But listen to what Jesus said. Father, I know that you have heard me. The prayer of faith knows the Father has heard you and operates in a position of faith. And you don't have to have any circumstance agree with you. You don't have to have any person agree with you. You don't have to have anything agree with you if you've got God's word on it. And you stand your ground and you don't move. And because you are governed by what you believe, you begin to live your life based on the fact of the faithfulness of God. Now let me close with this part of it, because this is a real clear way to kind of illustrate it. When God dealt with me about what to do this weekend, about the $220,000 to renovate this room, in your natural mind, I think, well, you know, Lord, I don't like doing that, and your mind starts to work, and yet you know that if you honor his word, he's faithful. But you just don't start at something like $220,000. You have to start way back when God deals with you. And I remember years and years ago for me, it's when I was just a new Christian. Well, actually, I'd been a Christian backslid, but came back to the Lord. And God began to deal with me. I was making minimum wage. And God began to deal with me. He said, instead of giving 10% of my income, to give 20%. And of minimum wage. I'm thinking in my mind, you can't be that hurting. I'm just telling you as a kid what you think. I was maybe 20, 21. And said, give 20% of your income away. So I started to do it. Now, when you learn to be governed by God dealing with your heart, and one of the best ways to learn to do it is with money. You want to find out what's in someone's heart? See how they handle their money. And so, if you don't learn to obey God in little things like that, what's 10% of nothing? I mean, minimum wage back then was probably $2. I mean, did he really need 40 cents of every dollar? I mean, did it really? Is that why he led me to do it? Was that going to put the kingdom over? No. Time and time again, little steps of obedience where you're governed by what you believe, and now you come into a situation. Remember, the just shall live by faith. Now you need your faith to work, listen, to receive by. And what very often people want to do is they don't want to live by faith in everyday life. They only want to walk by faith when it comes time to receive. And it's very difficult to turn your faith on, as it were, to be receiving when you don't live by it in everyday life. So I still strongly encourage people, they don't understand how the giving bone is connected to the receiving bone. How the obedience bone is connected. It all comes together because it's living by faith. Living by faith. And that also includes receiving by faith. So when we talk about faith, don't only think about receiving. Don't only think about just walking in everyday life governed by what you believe. It all is a part of the faith life. But I want to pray for us tonight. If you have scripture that you know that what you need, or what your need is, that you have Bible for. And if you have a Bible scripture that you know that it belongs to you, raise your hand up right now if you have scripture for what you're believing for. All right? And here's what I want to do. I want to lead you in the prayer of faith. Now, there's many, many ways that you can receive in the prayer of faith. You can have someone pray for you and lay hands on you as a place where you release your faith. And you need to be sensitive to God. I know when our son was diagnosed and sick, months and months and months went by until we actually brought him to a meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, where, our spiritual father was there ministering. The guy that was instrumental in my upbringing spiritually as a minister. And we were led to go there and have him pray for our son in this meeting he was doing. And that's when we released our faith. And that's where we believe we receive our son's healing. And I don't know, I think it was 3, 4, 5, 6 months. We just waited for that event to pray, to believe you receive. And then once we prayed, from that point on, and I mean from that point on, Father, I thank you. And I mean when things got worse, Father, we thank you that he's healed. We thank you when hands were laid on our son, the healing power of God went in him. So, you may be led to have someone lay hands on you. At the end of the service tonight, prayer partners will be up here. They can lay hands on you and believe God with you. But I feel led tonight to pray generally the prayer of faith so that you can receive right now, right where you're seated. You say, but don't I need to have good music and get a good feeling? No. You just need to know that God is faithful. Take him at his word. Believe you receive when you pray. And then we're going to spend some time just thanking God that it's mine, I have it now. You begin to worship God from your heart as it is relevant to you. If it's for healing, Father, I thank you. I receive healing. It's mine, I have it now. I thank you by faith. It's mine. I glorify you. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I thank you that healing power is coursing through my body no matter what I feel. Thank you. It's mine. If it has to do with your mental abilities or your emotional issues in your life, Father, I thank you that I'm free. I thank you that I'm free from anxiety. I thank you that I'm free from fear. I thank you that I have no fear. There's no fear in me. Oh, I thank you, Lord. No fear, no fear, no fear. You told me to fear not. I believe I receive strength to be able to release my care on you. Thank you. I'm free from care. I'm free from worry. I refuse to worry. Thank you. I'm free. And then every time you're tempted to go back into it, you say, no, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Now, you don't run around telling people. Bible says you have faith happen between you and God. And don't think by telling people that you're going to put God in a bind. And a lot of times people do, I told 20 people and God's obligated now. No. God does not get blackmailed well. God doesn't give based on how many people. God's already given in Christ. When you pray, you are receiving what was already given in him 2,000 plus years ago. Amen? Praise God. Let's just stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever your need is tonight, whatever it might be, from physical healing, might be relational, I don't know, maybe it's anger, I don't know, whatever's going on in your life. Guys, we're human beings, but aren't you glad we have a Redeemer? Aren't you glad you have a Redeemer? So whatever it is, would you just close your eyes, forget about everybody around you, and whatever that need is in your life, I want you in one sense, we're going to represent it through one hand up, and then we're going to worship God with the other. So just lift whatever that is in your life. Lift your hand to heaven right now. You're about to exercise the prayer of faith in your life. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that we now receive. We lift up to you. I thank you, Lord. Your word says, now you just out of your heart right now, begin to just tell God the scriptures that you're standing on, what the word says about that area in your life. Be bold about it before God. Say it where you're out of your heart to Him. Lord, you said this, by His stripes I'm healed. Lord, no weapon formed against me prospers. You just speak that out of your heart. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your word. And now, Father, I thank you. We will have faith in our God tonight. We will believe that the things that we believe in our heart and say with our mouth will come to pass. And so in the name of Jesus, right now we believe that we receive what we have need of now. We're not asking you to give it. You've already given it in Christ. We are receiving the promise by faith. We are receiving it now. It belongs to us. We have it now by faith. And now, Lord, we thank you for it. Lift your other hand and begin to thank Him. Oh, I thank you. I thank you, Father. Oh, I thank you. Thank Him. Thank Him like it's yours now, like you have it now. Act like you've got it. Act like it's yours. Rejoice like it's yours. Thank you, Father. I thank you. Oh, I magnify you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. It's mine, I have it now. It's mine, I have it now. It's mine, I have it now by faith. In your grace and your mercy, thank you. It's mine, I have it now. I have it now. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, Father, we worship you. 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 We worship
you.
We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Father. How many of you are grateful that you have it now by faith? Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise God. It is so important to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're going to, in fact, this weekend, I'm still going to be teaching the whole weekend on faith to receive. And so we're believing God. At the conclusion of the service tonight, Pastor Steve will, of course, invite the prayer partners up. So if you felt like you needed someone to lay hands on you to believe God with you, that's your point of contact. You come up and believe God together. Would you bow your heads one last moment before Pastor Steve comes up? And the lights went away. But that's all right. They're back now. And would you bow your heads with me tonight? If you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you've never given your life to Jesus, and you want to know that before you leave this place, you have eternal life in Him. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you want to pray to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. Just right where you're seated now, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to make Christ the Lord of my life. Would you lift your hand up right now where you're seated? We'll include you in that prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. If you raise your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Christ will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross to bear my sins. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is gone. I am born of the Spirit of God. I am heaven bound, and I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Amen. Thank you, buddy.
All right, well, welcome. We want to welcome you and thank you for coming, especially if you're...
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.